November 30th, 1937. When I was going upstairs this evening, a strange dislike for everything having to do with God suddenly came over me. At that time, I heard Satan who said to me, "Think no more about this work. God is not as merciful as you say He is. Do not pray for sinners, because they will be damned all the same. And by this work of mercy, you expose your own self to damnation." Talk no more about this mercy of God with your confessor, and especially with not with Father Sopoko and Father Andres. At this point, the voice took the appearance of my guardian angel, and at that moment, I replied, "I know who you are, the father of lies." I made the sign of cross, and the angel vanished with great racket and fury. So whenever temptation comes, you have to straightforward, not to discuss. We don't have that kind of wisdom to discuss with for Satan, just to say no. Today, the Lord gave me to know interiorly that He would never abandon me. He gave me to know His Majesty and His Holiness, as well as His own love and mercy towards me. And He gave me a deeper knowledge of my own wretchedness. However, this great mystery of mine does not deprive me of choice. On the contrary, the better I have to know my own misery, the stronger has become my choice in God's mercy. I've come to understand how all this depends on the Lord. I know that no one would touch a single hair of my head without His willing it. When I was receiving Holy Communion, I noticed in the cup a living host which the priest gave to me. When I returned to my place, I asked the Lord, "Why was one host alive, since you are equally alive under each of the species?" The Lord answered me, "That is so. I am the same under each of the species, but not every soul receives me with the same living faith as you do, my daughter, and therefore I cannot act in their souls as I do in yours." So she saw the host is a kind of living thing. She was asking why the other, Jesus said the same, but depends on who receives. If you have great faith, then the host becomes more vivid. But you don't have that kind of readiness to receive, then, you know, Jesus can. It's Jesus there, but you know, you don't have that kind of grace. I was present at the Holy Mass celebrated by Father Sopoko. During the Mass, I saw this infant Jesus who, touching the priest's forehead with his finger, said to me, "His thoughts is closely united to mine, so be at peace about what concerns my work. I will not let you make a mistake, and you should do nothing without His permission." The priest, Father Sopoko. So Jesus directly talked to her, but still Jesus needed to be, that she be obedient at the same time. humble. Today the Lord Jesus is giving me an awareness of himself and of his most tender love and care for me. He is bringing me to understand deeply how everything depends on his will, and how he allows certain difficulties precisely for our merit, so that our fidelity might be clearly manifest. And through this, I have been given strength for suffering and self-denial. All at the same time, when we say love, we have to sacrifice also. December 7, 1937. Today is the eve of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary. During midday meal, in an instant, God gave me to know the greatness of my destiny, that is, his closeness, which for all eternity will not be taken away from me. And he said this in such a vivid and clear fashion, and I remained wrapped up in his living presence for a long time, humbling myself before his greatness. His poems. O divine spirit, spirit of truth and light, dwell ever in my soul by your divine grace. May your breath dissipate the darkness, and in this light may good deeds be multiplied. O divine spirit, spirit of love and of mercy, who pour the palm of trust into my heart, your grace confirm my soul in good, giving it the invisible power of constancy. O divine spirit, spirit of peace and of love, you invigorate my thirsting heart and pour into it the living fountain of God's love, making it intrepid for battle. O divine spirit, my soul's most welcome guest, for my part, I want to remain faithful to you, both in days of joy and in the agony of suffering. I want always, O Spirit of God, to live in your presence. O Divine Spirit, who pervades my whole being and give me to know your divine threefold life, initiating me into your divine essence, thus united to you, I will live a life without end. It is with great zeal that I have prepared for the celebration of the Feast of Immaculate Conception of the Mother of God. I have made an extra effort to keep recollected in spirit and have meditated on that unique pilgrimage of Our Lady. And thus my heart was completely drowned in her, thanking God for having accorded this great privilege to Mary. I prepare not only by means of the novena set in the common by the whole community, but also made a personal effort to salute her 1,000 times each day, sing 1,000 Hail Mary for 9 days in her praise. This is now the third time I have said such a novena to the Mother of God, that is, a novena made up of 1,000 Hail Mary each day. Thus, the novena consists in 9,000 salutations. Although I have done this now 3 times in my life, and 2 of these while in the course of my duties, I have never failed in carrying out my task with the greatest exactitude. I have always said the novena outside the time of my exercises, That is to say, I have not said the Hail Mary during Holy Mass or benediction. Once, I made the novena while lying ill in the hospital. Where there is a will, there is a way. 1,000 Hail Mary each day, the novena, extra time, not with the community. The community will do the novena, of course. She does the extra, not 1,000 Hail Mary per day. Even now, doesn't step to walk, not easy. Imagine that now doesn't Hail Mary. Apart from recreation, I've only prayed and worked. I have not said a single unnecessary word during these days. Although I must admit that such a matter requires a good deal of attention and effort. Nothing is too much when it comes to honoring the Immaculate Virgin. It's not easy, you know. When every Hail Mary, she is concentrating, although doing her work, but concentrating at the same time on the prayer. We say many times Hail Mary, which is saying not much with the heart. The Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Before Holy Communion, I saw the Blessed Mother, inconceivably beautiful, smiling at me. She said to me, "My daughter, at God's command, I am to be, in a special and exclusive way, your mother. But I decide that you too, in a special way, be my child." So our Heavenly Mother is ready to be a mother. But are we her child? Do we have the same sentiment towards our Heavenly Mother? It's important, the same as with the Blessed Sacrament. Now we can see, visible. We have to ask, where is our heart? So Faustina has a heart longing for the Blessed Sacrament, heart, invisible Heavenly Mother. Continue from the word of Mary. "I desire, my dear beloved daughter, that you practice the three virtues that are dearest to me and most pleasing to God. The first is humility." Humility. And once again, humility. "The second virtue, purity. The third virtue, love of God." First, humility. Purity, then love of God. Usually we put love of God in the first place. It could be an idea, but humility is more actual, more touching your skin. Many times we are proud. We say we are hurt, but the rough words of the people, they don't look at me. At times they shout at me. So you lose your patience. Humility, purity, love of God. "As my daughter, you must especially radiate with these virtues." When the conversation ended, she pressed me to her heart and disappeared. When I regained the use of my senses, my heart became so wonderfully attracted to these virtues, and I practiced them faithfully. They are as though engraved in my heart. Humility, chastity, and love of God, purity. Humility, chastity, purity, Savior. Humility, purity, and love of God. This has been a great day for me. During this day, I remained as though in unceasing contemplation. The very thought of this grace drew me into further contemplation. And throughout the whole day, I continued in thanksgiving, which I never stopped, because each recollection of this grace caused my soul ever anew to lose itself in God. Oh my God, my soul is the most wretched of all, and yet you stooped to it with such kindness. I see clearly your greatness and my littleness, and therefore I rejoice that you are so powerful and without limit, and so I rejoice greatly at being so little. O suffering Christ, I am going out to meet you. As your bride, I must resemble you. Your cloak of enormity must cover me too. O Christ, you know how ardently I desire to become like you. Grant that your entire passion may be my Lord. May all your sorrow be poured into my heart. I trust that you will complete this in me in the way you deem most fitting. She ready to accept all kinds of suffering what Jesus had suffered. This openness. Many times she said, oh, please not be suffering, no? But she said, welcome, as much as you wish. Today, there was nocturnal adoration. I could not take part in it because of my poor health. But before I fell asleep, I united myself with the sisters who were at the adoration. Between 4 and 5 o'clock, I was suddenly awakened, and I heard a voice telling me to join those who were adoring at that time. I understood that there was among them a soul who was praying for me. When I steeped myself in prayer, I was transported in spirit to the chapel, where I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in the monstrance. In place of the monstrance, I saw the glorious face of the Lord, and he said to me, what you see in reality, these souls see through faith. Oh, how pleasing to me is their great faith. You see, that's a white horse, but Jesus is present. Jesus appreciates our faith. Yes, no, this quickly. You see, although there appears to be no trace of life in me, in reality, it is present in its fullest in each and every host. But for me, to be able to act upon a soul, the soul must have faith. Oh, how pleasing to me is living faith. It depends on each one of us, how much you believe, how much you kind of communion with the Lord. Life, communication. Those taking part in adoration at that time were Mother Superior and a few other sisters. But I recognized that it was Mother Superior's prayer which had moved heaven, and rejoiced that there are souls so pleasing to God. Because of her, she had the grace, though in the kind of ecstasy, to be present in the chapel, wearing During recreation the next day, I asked which sisters had been at adoration between 4 and 5 o'clock. One of the sisters cried out, "Why do you ask, sister? Perhaps you had some revelation?" I fell silent, and I said no more. Although I was asked by Mother Superior, I couldn't answer because it was not a suitable moment. Also, the Mother Superior was curious, "What happened? Why you ask who are present at that time?" Fortunately, she wrote all these little things down in her diary. Otherwise, you know, it happens, the little things. If she doesn't write down, we don't know anything. It's so beautiful. On a certain occasion, one of the sisters confided to me that she wanted to choose a certain priest as her confessor. Very pleased, she shared the news with me and asked me to pray for that intention. And so I promised her to do so. During prayer, I learned that soul would gain no spiritual profit from his direction. And then the next time we met, she told me again of her great joy in being under his direction. But she knows that not a proper choice. I joined in her joy, but when she had left, I was severely rebuked. Jesus told me to tell her what he had given me to know during prayer, which I did at the first opportunity, or it cost me a great deal. So at times, even a saint can not pretend, do things not according to. She should tell her, the other sister, the truth. But she just, good, how nice. Jesus rebuked her, "Why don't you tell the truth?" Many times we, for the sake of saving our face, afraid people doesn't like us, so we do things not accordingly. Many times it happened to us. We have the lights from the Holy Spirit, and we are so convinced of this and that. At times, we just to be more close to other people. "Oh, how nice! Oh, okay, no problem." But there's problem, and so no problem. That's how we behave. Simple things, but reflect so much on our daily life. We did the same. Although we say this is not a good thing, but it's no problem. Okay. That's how we. I joined in her joy, but when she had left, I was severely rebuked. Jesus told me to tell her what he had given me to know during prayer, which I did at the first opportunity, although it cost me a great deal. So, finally, she did. Harder. Today, for a short while, I experienced the pain of the crown of thorns. I was praying for a certain soul before the Blessed Sacrament at the time. In an instant, I felt such a violent pain that my head dropped onto the altar rail. Although this moment was very brief, it was very painful. Imagine Jesus the whole time carrying the thorn, you know, from the very beginning. So Jesus got the thorn, but on the way to the cross, before the way to the cross, I think it's in the house of the high priest. You know, they put a thorn crown of thorns on his head all the time during Passion, the walk. Just 1 second, she felt so painful, the head. Imagine, Jesus, I think it's impossible to be alive the time of Jesus' Passion. Christ, give me souls. That anything you like happen to me, but give me souls in return. I want the salvation of souls. I want souls to know my mercy. I have nothing left for myself, because I've given everything away to souls, with the result that on the day of judgment, I will stand before you empty-handed, since I've given everything as away to souls. Thus, you will have nothing on which to judge me, and we shall meet on that day. She said, I have nothing now to judge, I'm giving everything. Love and mercy. It's a poem. Hidden Jesus, light of my soul, object of an ardent desire, nothing will stifle my love in my heart. The power of our mutual love assures me of that. Hidden Jesus, glorious pledge of my resurrection, all my life is concentrated in you. It is you, O host, who empower me to love forever. And I know what you will love me as your child in return. Hidden Jesus, my purest love, my life with you has begun already here on earth with the Blessed Sacrament. And it will become fully manifest in eternity to come, because our mutual love will never change. So eternity starts from now. But we wait in heaven and we see Jesus face to face. Now today, even you don't see Jesus, but still Jesus present with the Blessed Sacrament. You see face to face with faith. Faustina, at times, she saw Jesus in the host, the presence of Jesus, or a little child. But that's a special grace. But Jesus told her, those people, they don't see me, but they have faith. They live in faith. Because our mutual love will never change. So important is your love towards the love of Jesus. Hidden Jesus, soul desire of my soul, you alone are to me more than the delights of heaven. My soul searches for you only, who are above all gifts and graces. You who come to me under the form of bread. Hidden Jesus, take alas to yourself my thirsting heart, which burns for you with the pure fire of seraphim. I go through life in your footsteps inconvincibly, with head held high, like a knight, feeble, male, mate, though I be. So with confidence and trust, walk together with the Lord. Walk tall, walk smart with the Lord. We need to be always upright, because Jesus is accompanying us. We don't see him, but he is. For a month now, I have been feeling worse. Every time I cough, I feel my lungs disintegrating. It sometimes happens that I feel the complete decay of my own corpse. It's hard to express how great the suffering this is. Although I fully agree to this with my will, It is nevertheless a great suffering for nature, greater than wearing a hair shirt or flagellation to the point of blood. She was really suffering. At times, you smell her body like the corpse. You can imagine at that those moments. She felt herself already a dead person, the smell of a corpse in herself. And people can smell also. You can imagine people coming to her, kind of reluctant to serve her. I felt it especially when I was going to the refectory. It took great effort for me to eat anything because food made me sick. I also started at this time to suffer from pains in my intestines. All highly seasoned dishes caused me such immense pain that I spent many nights writhing in pain and in tears for the sake of sinners. Eating good food, but bad result. She has suffered for so many nights, but she offered for the sinners. However, I asked my confessor what to do, whether I should continue to suffer these for the sake of sinners, or ask the superiors for an exception by way of milder food. He decided that I should ask the superiors for milder food, and thus I followed his directions, seeing that this humiliation was more pleasing to God. You can imagine you asking the superior to change the food for you, special food. It's not always easy because they have to ask the cook. Usually the cook doesn't like to do extra things. So the superior usually is reluctant to tell the cook to do something special for you. You can imagine. Of course, not a smiling face. However, I asked my one day I began to doubt as to how it was possible to feel this continued decaying of the body, you see, smell. And at the same time, to be able to walk and work. You can smell yourself, such things stink. How can you talk with people? Perhaps this was some kind of an illusion, yet it cannot be an illusion, because it causes me such terrible pains. As I was thinking about this, one of the sisters came to converse with me. After a minute or two, she made a terribly real face and said, "Sister, I smell a corpse here." As though it were decaying. Oh, how dreadful it is. I said to her, "Do not be frightened, sister. That smell of a corpse comes from me." What a humility. She was very surprised and said she could not stand it any longer. You can imagine the whole time, Faustina herself spreading her smell. The sister come for a few minutes to talk. Doesn't want to. We never have this kind of smell, even though in the funeral parlor is already, you know, in the fridge, so you don't smell anything special. After she had gone, I understood that God had allowed her to sense this so that I would have no doubts, but that he was no less than miraculously keeping the knowledge of this suffering from the whole community. Oh my Jesus, only you know the full depth of this sacrifice. Nevertheless, when in the refectory, I still had to bear being the object of the frequent suspicion that was being fussy about my food. You can imagine, she got a special food, but the people, how do they look at her? Why so special? At such times, as always, I hastened to the tabernacle and bowed before the ciporium, and there draw strength to accept God's will. That which I have written is not yet everything. You can imagine how much she suffered. Everybody, she make people away from her, no smell already. And she cannot take the normal food. Today, during confession, breaking the wafer with me spiritually, he gave me the following wishes. Be as faithful as you can to the grace of God. Secondly, beg God's grace, God's mercy for yourself and for the whole world, because we are all in great need of God's mercy. 2 days before Christmas, these words were read in the refectory. Tomorrow is the birth of Jesus Christ according to the flesh. At these words, my soul was pierced by the light and love of God, and I gained deeper knowledge of the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. How great is the mercy of God contained in the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. Today, the Lord gave me knowledge of His anger toward mankind, which deserved to have its days shortened because its sins. But I learned that the world's existence is maintained by chosen souls, that is, the religious order. Woe to the world when there will be a lack of religious order. So imagine people serve the Lord in the religious order to offer their life for humanity, for the sake of humanity. So we pray today, it's a Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, that we have the same, have the knowledge of Faustina. Humility? You said humility? Purity and love of God. The first thing, humility. Be humble. Not be easily offended, but just a little word, but just a kind of, you know, little action that you would anger for life and you want to kill the other person. So, just learn from Faustina this simplicity. Be humble, always humble, and pure, and love God.